Open up your Bible, if you have your Bible with you.
Yes.
To Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like to look at a paper Bible, we have those available to you.
Yeah,
just
Paul
raise your
has
hand.
Them.
One of the ushers will.
Just simply raise your hand.
It's so important to look at the Word of God. I think, you know, it's not only just we think for our own sake, but I do think it says something to the Lord about your value of, I want to hear what you're saying to me. And so open up your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Last week, we began to explain about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit for a while. And gifts given to his church, the body of Christ. And God gave us gifts to equip us.
Yep.
To do the work that he's planned and prepared for us to do. Kingdom work. We talked a little bit about the kingdom of God the last couple weeks. And we've also been saying that our salvation in Christ is far more than just a ticket to heaven.
Come on.
So many times, I think this is how people have heard it over the years, maybe especially here in America, that you know, you give your life to Christ and now that somehow equates only to, well, when I die, I go to heaven.
Yeah, right.
And then somehow we just forget about all the rest of the meaning to it and we just live our life any old way we want. Not understanding that salvation is just the first step into the kingdom, that you were made for so much more.
Come on.
Than that. And we, in this series, our prayer has been to awaken you to that truth. We've been praying not only that it would awaken you to the truth, but it would motivate you. Right. Because as you hear the word of God, scripture says faith comes by hearing the word of God. So it would stir up faith in your heart.
Yep.
To go, I have something more maybe than I understood about my life, a plan and purpose for my life that God has put in you. And he's gifted you to carry out the purpose.
Come on.
And we do have kingdom work to do. Take a look around at the world. The world needs a lot of light shining in it these days.
Come on.
And so let's just begin. We're going to start with prayer before we get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. And we thank you for your presence here, Holy Spirit. We
Wonderful.
Do feel your presence in this room.
Wonderful.
We feel you here among us. You say where two or more are gathered together, there I am in your midst. And so we do acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. And we offer you, Lord, our mind and our heart. We set apart everything else. We just offer you our mind and our heart to be renewed, Lord, to see and to see what you desire for our life. And we ask you, Lord, to teach us. Teach us, Holy Spirit, to show us all you've given us.
Yes.
In so great a salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you would have your way in this place. Have your way in the children in Mile One. Lord, speak to them. Speak to their hearts about your desire and your plan and purpose for their
yes.
lives. And Father, for all of us, we pray, may your kingdom come. May your will be done.
Hallelujah.
Lord, here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 So one of the most life-changing truths that struck my heart, and I would say your heart too.
Yes.
Years ago was to learn that God did have a plan and purpose for our lives beyond what normally just happens in your life, where you know, as you mature, you go to high school, you finish, you may go to college, you get your job, you work, you buy your house, and all the things that just seem to make the world go round. In the midst of all that, when we discovered that God had a plan and purpose for our life and we began to take him seriously,
yep.
because you do have to ask him about it and take him seriously on it, our lives were forever changed from that moment. It changed our life. It changed the way we raised our children.
Yes.
It changed then who they married. It changed our grandchildren's lives.
Yeah.
And we look back and we think, God, you're so faithful. He helped us break generational curses that we saw that were in our families
Glory
that would have
God.
Stopped us from stepping out. It's like what Mary was exhorting here this morning in worship. There are barriers set up for you in this life by the enemy, and he doesn't want you to move past them.
That's right.
But when you get into the Word of God and you see that Jesus said, you know, if you abide in my Word and you know the truth will set you free. There are freedoms that
yes.
the Lord wants you to walk in that often our minds initially are just ignorant, we're blinded to.
True.
But when you give the Lord permission in your life and you begin to ask him, show me your plan and purpose for my life, it changed our personal lives, changed our family, to put us on mission. Like we really genuinely see that we're on kingdom purpose.
Yes.
And you are too. This is not just for us. Every single person who's a child of God, who's given their life to Christ, God has a plan and purpose for your life. He has a plan and purpose for your family, for your future, for your children's future.
Yes.
And of course, the plan is motivated by his love.
Hallelujah.
He's always, from the foundation of the world, it says in Scripture, he had you in mind. In love, he had a focus on you. That you would be adopted into his family, yeah. Made holy by his love. Like, think about it. From the foundation of the world, you've been on God's mind. He's been thinking about you for a long time. And good thoughts.
Yes.
Good thoughts towards you. You've been on his mind for a long while. And when you make a decision to give your life to Christ, Scripture says all heaven rejoices when one sinner repents and gives their life to Christ. That there's a party in heaven. It's like, yes, my child, my lost child has come home. This is really the story of the Bible.
Right.
So this is so far beyond a ticket to heaven. We have to understand, like, God, what were you doing? What were you thinking towards me? What were your plans and thoughts towards me? And God always wanted you to be in his family.
Yes.
But it was impossible after Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Sin made that impossible because of the sin nature that we're all born into the earth with.
Yeah.
And so as much as God wanted to be with us, God is holy. Perfectly holy, and we aren't, right? I mean, we were born into sin because of Adam's sin, and there was no way for us to change that. And this is where we come to Ephesians chapter 2.
Verse 4.
We're going to start in verse 4. It says here, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. I want you to just pause and think about that. This was his motivation, the great love with which he loved us. So much so that, verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so not only were you forgiven of sin by his mercy, but look what he did, verse 6. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Glory.
That's a place of the highest honor, the right hand of God with Christ. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast, no one may boast. So see, you cannot work your way into heaven by good works. Salvation comes as a free gift to us. It's the work of Christ that opened the door for us to be saved. It was God's mercy, and it was his grace. And so, again, all the glory goes to the Lord for it. Look at verse 10. We've been looking at this verse the last couple of weeks. It says, for we are his workmanship now. When he saved us, you were given a new nature on the inside, the very life of God, created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works.
Yes.
Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you're chosen, you're loved, you're gifted, you're graced by God to do something for him. He has a plan and purpose for good works in this life.
Hallelujah.
So the cross of salvation was just the start. It was just the start of walking in newness of life and then kind of opening the gift and going, oh my, there's a lot here to discover about what the Lord has done for us. And putting the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is the greatest gift.
Agreed. Yeah. The greatest gift that we could have is the Spirit of the living God actually dwells within you. The Bible declares that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's the greatest gift that we have as individuals. It's the greatest gift that the body of Christ has, the church. And we have been gifted. We've been gifted with this resurrection life. Praise God. We've been gifted with a real purpose in life to do kingdom business. And because of the greater one living in us, we have the ability to accomplish what he calls and directs us to do. He's not going to ask you to do something you cannot do. Now, he will ask you to do more than you think you can do. Because why? Because the Holy Ghost lives in you.
Right.
The greater is he who's in us than he's in the world. But, you know, we all come with a past. Mm-hmm. We all come with a past before we met Christ. And what happens in people's lives, it affects their identity. It affects their value. Come on. That's what the world wants to do, is crush you. But the key is that when we renew our mind to the things of God, to the Word of God, we continually, it's not just a one-time thing. We continually renew our mind to the Word of God. We start to agree with God about who you are. It might sound kind of outrageous because it says, the Bible declares, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now all we have to do is remember some of our past. And we say, you're kidding, right? No, but we start to agree with Christ because you're a new creation in Christ. Mm-hmm. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what you've got to understand is you're not who the world tells you you are. Mm-hmm. You're not who they say you are. And sometimes we have to watch it because sometimes we're not who we say we are. Yeah. You know, we got to start to agree with Christ. Yeah. We are who God says we are. Yeah. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's amazing when you find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Just like we read, right now, legally, in the eyes of God, you and I are sitting at his right hand. On the throne with Jesus. You might not feel like it, but you have to start to agree with him. Yeah. I've been raised up and made to sit together with Christ in hallelujah, in the heavenly realms. Yeah. This is where I start to take my viewpoint from. Mm-hmm. I start to look from that. I start to think kingdom business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Yeah. But God has poured out gifts to his body, every single one of us. And this is for the carry out kingdom business. You're anointed by God himself to fulfill the mission he's called you to do. Yeah. And now we're all called to make disciples. We're all called to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We're all called to cast out devils. All of us. Mark chapter 16. And you say, yes, I know that one, Pastor.
We got two amens in here.
Well, it's in this book. And it's important that you find out what it is. But we're talking about the gifts that God has delivered to us. There are three categories of gifts that we're going to discover that the Bible talks about. They're giftings. And the first, three gifts, three categories of gifts. The first one is motivational gifts, and we looked at that last week, and that's found in Romans chapter 12. Those are the motivational gifts. Next, we're going to discover, and we're going to go through this, is the manifestation gifts that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The next category of gifts are the fivefold ministry gifts. That's found in Ephesians chapter 4. We spent last week looking and explaining the motivational gifts that everybody has. These are the gifts in Romans chapter 12. These are the gifts that we possess. We possess these gifts. Amen. This actually, God has put them in you, and it's your makeup. It makes you who you are.
Yeah, it's like your personality.
It's your personality. It's actually your motivation for life, to tell you the truth. And let me read off these the seven of them that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. It says prophecy, but a better understanding of that is a perceiver. Okay, perceiver, because it's not a manifestation gift of prophecy, and it's not the office of a prophet. So we call that a perceiver. The next one is a server, a teacher, exhorter, a giver, leadership, which your Bible might say administrations, and mercy. These are the gifts that we possess. And if you weren't here last week or you want to look a little bit more into that, just go on to our YouTube station and you can listen to that. You know, because this is how we're going to continue to do kingdom business. It's important for us because sometimes the world has pushed these gifts down in us that they are covered up, but God wants to set you free. He wants you to walk in the fullness of who you are. The next ones, the ones that we're going to look at today, we're only going to get to one, but it's the nine manifold manifestation gifts. Nine manifestation gifts that it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You might want to take a quick move over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in your Bibles.
We're not there yet, though.
No, you're just getting ahead of things. You go forward toward the back of your Bible.
Here we go.
Yeah. These are supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts, we do not possess these gifts. These gifts are as the Spirit wills. Amen. The Spirit brings those about. We, as much as we would want to have the operation of these and just make it a continual thing, it's as the Spirit wills. The next group is the fivefold ministry gifts that is found in Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle, pastor, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. These are specific callings given to the body of Christ, certain individuals, for the to help the body of Christ the ministry of the kingdom. So we got the motivational gifts, Romans chapter 12, the manifestation gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, and then we have the ministry gifts that are found in Ephesians chapter 4. But in order to explain these gifts, if we just put them in one bowl, one category, and mix them up and say these are the gifts, we're not going to understand it because they're different. And it's important for us to have an understanding of these things so that we can recognize it and advance the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. It's important that we find the different functions. It's important that we find an understanding about these gifts so that we don't mix them up.
Yeah. So today we want to look closer at get into the nine manifestation gifts. We're just going to get to the word of wisdom today. But let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Again, these are manifestation gifts. Scripture says we don't possess them. They're given again as the Spirit wills. So it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant." Some Bibles might say misinformed. So I want to just stop there and say if the Spirit of God through Paul, mm-hmm. you know, didn't want the church in that day, the Corinthian church, the early church, to be ignorant or misinformed, then I don't believe he wants us to be ignorant and misinformed today. Amen. However, ignorance does exist. There are many people, many churches that teach the gifts have all gone away, or people just think, well, I think they're there, but I know nothing about them. So we don't want to be ignorant because we want these gifts. We want to be aware so the gifts can operate.
Yeah.
I say again, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So as we hear about the word of God, then faith can get stirred up in our heart. The Holy Spirit has more opportunity to move in and through people and in
yes.
the church. And so you can't, people that say, well, the gifts have all been ceased, they've gone away. You can't find one scripture to back that up.
Amen.
So the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian church here to help them understand how the supernatural gifts are meant to operate mm-hmm. when they get together, especially in a service, because there were problems in that church. They had supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit. For one thing, the problem was which made them start to feel superior or more spiritually mature than other people. Yet it definitely was not the case. When you read 1 Corinthians...
That church was messed up.
Yeah. It was, Paul said, you're carnal. He said they were carnal like previous chapters. He said, you're carnal and ruled by the flesh. And then he went on to actually explain. It's just kind of interesting. Paul just laid it out there. He said, like, you're like spiritual infants.
Right.
That I wanted to feed you with some solid food, but I couldn't. I had to give you milk like a baby would get milk. And the reason was, is there was quarreling, he said, in the church. There were a lot of divisions in the church. There were rivalries in the church. Mm-hmm. They had their favorite preachers. You know, they wanted this one above this one. And he addressed in other chapters in Corinthians sexual immorality that was going on in the church. They knew about it, but they did nothing to address it.
Right.
And then he said, some of you are coming gathering for food at a dinner at the communion table, and you're getting drunk.
Drunk at the communion table.
This was an interesting church. And then with all of this, they had nerve to criticize Paul. You know, they write, you know, because Paul had heard back about what they said. Oh, his letters are weighty and strong, but his presence is really nothing, and his messages are basically worthless. Of no effect. I mean, that's really the meaning of it.
Yeah.
I think about it. I mean, Paul pioneered that church, for one thing. If it weren't for him going, risking his life, here's Paul, who risked his life, spent so much time in prison for the sake of the gospel,
yeah,
to share the gospel. He starts the Corinthian church.
Yeah.
The reason they're saved and they're there is because of him. But,
because of Paul.
You know, yet they just felt free to criticize and resisted any need really to honor Paul. So Paul's writing this letter, kind of bringing it back around. He's like saying, I know you have spiritual gifts operating, and they did. But he's saying,
grow up.
Yeah.
he's saying, grow up. He said, you behave like spiritual infants, you know, despite the supernatural gifts, because they were operating in that church. You know, this is a quote from Jack Deere. The power of a person's spiritual gift is not an indication of their spirituality.
Yeah.
It's really important for us to understand, because it's easy to make the mistake. If somebody stands up and they're prophesying, or somebody lays hand on an individual and they get healed, because the Bible calls certain things gifts of the Spirit as gifts of healing. Other times it's a working of miracles. Other times it's special faith. And we have a tendency to think, oh, if God moved through that person, that person must be more elevated than I could possibly be, which is not the truth. It's in fact, a lot of people who have through Christendom have been operating in gifts of the Spirit have brought disdain on the church because of their lack of character, but yet they still operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And you kind of like wonder, like, how does that work, Lord? And it's the gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills. The gifts of the Spirit are for the edification of the body. Yeah. Now, you understand? Yeah, sometimes it is hard to understand. And, you know, it is, if God had to wait for us all to grow up spiritually,
maybe not much would
happen. It would be
it'd
another
take a long
millennial.
Time, maybe. Right.
Yeah, because, you know, he knows that he's working through imperfect people. Praise God. And again, he knew you, like Pastor Maine was saying, he knew you before the foundation of the world. He knit you together in your mother's womb. Mm-hmm. So you have the motivational gifts, which you have. Those are the ones we possess. And God will choose through his Spirit these manifestation gifts. But it's important for us to understand God equates spiritual maturity through character.
Yeah, and it does say that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And so, you know, God sovereignly decides to use a gift, but it's the character of the person. Sometimes God's working through a person whose character is carnal. And I think his gifts and callings are without repentance. It's not that God doesn't care.
Right.
It's just that God is already sovereignly, I believe, decided. He's going to use a person here and there. And it's up to the person how they live their life. But the gifts and callings of God are
right.
Without repentance. And so, but what we do with the gift that we've been given is what's important, how we steward
Come
it.
Come on.
Because we're to be good stewards of the gifts. And that's really our choice.
It is our choice.
It's just like what Mary was saying this morning. Like, you could stand there and go, God's saying, you know, prompting, but you could not do it. You could disobey God through our actions, our behavior, our choices. Yep. But then again, if God just said, well, then I have to wait for somebody to just be perfectly aligned somehow this high in my will, then nothing would get done, would it? And so we do have to be discerning that God's not looking past that. We want to really marry it with God's character. Like as the gifts are getting used, we want to have strong character.
Yeah, look at the last scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Paul's telling the Corinthian church, he's telling them, he's saying, earnestly desire the greater gifts, but yet I will show you a better way. And then it goes into chapter 13, and chapter 13 is known as the love chapter. He brings out characteristics of love, the God kind of love. So this is where we are looking for our spiritual maturity, is walking in love, producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit, first of all, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But here's Paul telling these guys, we want you to desire the gifts of the Spirit also, because it's to edify the body. It's really the supernatural manifestations of the gift of the Spirit. They are real. They are wonderful. And again, like Pastor Mamie said, they need to be married with character.
Yeah, right. Because really walking in love, when you think about it, a gift flowing through a person is truly a gift. They didn't do anything. They just, God used them, flowed through them. Walking in love and obedience and humility, crucifying our flesh, takes a lot more spiritual strength than allowing a gift to work through you. And so that's where I think that tells the other side of our spirituality. That's why Paul goes into 13. He's like, well, if we really want to talk about maturity, let's talk about love. And yet we still want gifts. And so let's like I said, marry them together so that, you know, we give God the best glory that he deserves. So let's go on. And in verse 4, it says of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And even just looking at what Pastor C was describing as the three categories, you can just imagine with different personalities, different settings, you're going to see diversity. You're going to see some different ways this Holy Spirit's going to operate. And in the activities, even the atmosphere or the situation that a person's in.
Right.
But it's God who's the source of it all. Verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all.
There we go.
And so to each one, the manifestation is given according to the will of God for the profit of all. And the profit of all meaning not just, yes, it's going to edify the person, but it's going to lift up the lordship of Christ.
Amen.
In our midst. It's going to lift, it's going to point to Jesus when these gifts operate. The gifts aren't meant to attract attention to a man or a woman that they're flowing through, but it's really what Christ is doing here in the midst to build up his church and build up his body. And so this is important for us to understand. Then the nine manifestation gifts begin to get outlined here in verse 8. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. That makes nine. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. You see, we don't possess these. This is how the Holy Spirit, sometimes it seems as though God uses a person particularly in certain gifts repeatedly.
Yes, that's
but
for
you
sure.
Can't say, well, I have that gift. It's as the Spirit wills. It's really not on demand.
Right.
So let's go back to verse 8.
Right.
We're going to focus on the word of wisdom with the time that we have left today.
Yeah, verse 8. For the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit.
Yeah.
First of all, we need to understand this wisdom is not to be confused with natural wisdom. Like natural wisdom will help you deal wisely in the affairs of life. It will help you live out a Christian life. Sometimes this has been confused with somebody who knows a lot of the Bible because they read a lot of the Bible. Sometimes it's confused with, you know, a person has a really close relationship with Christ. But this is just, that's what I would call natural wisdom. That's just normal, natural wisdom. The wisdom, this word of wisdom, is supernatural manifestation of the Spirit. And here I'm going to show you a couple of instances how and why. Turn, if you can, hold your finger there in 1 Corinthians 12. Go to Joshua. Joshua is found
in the
Old Testament. In the Old Testament. So turn back in your Bible toward the front. You'll get it. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. And we're talking the difference between natural wisdom and how to deal wisely in the affairs of life and a gift of the Spirit, which is a word of wisdom, which is supernatural. And Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." This is an example of how you can have natural wisdom by renewing your mind in line with the Bible to have good success in life. And then James chapter 1.
I'm going to have you get all over the Bible today.
James chapter 1.
Go back to the, or back.
Go forward into the New Testament. Toward the back of your Bible. Yeah, it could be worse. You could be living with me.
You get to figure out the speech after a while.
Yes. See, this is natural wisdom here in James chapter 1, verse 5. And this is general wisdom from God. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." See, this is written here to the whole church. The whole church is to ask for wisdom on how to deal wisely in the affairs of life. A lot of times when you're asking for wisdom, God will say, "What did I say?" And you'll go back to what he told Joshua. "Oh, I'm going to get in the Word and I'll find my answer." Which will be natural wisdom. It's important for us because that is for the whole church. That's for anybody. Now, remember what it says in verse 8? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, he says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit." For to one.
For to one.
There's a difference between all being invited to gain God's wisdom and a gift of the Spirit.
Yeah, and given to a person, specifically maybe for a situation, for that person or for someone else that they're with. But it's a revelation of, and it has to do with future. So here's a definition. Yeah. The word of wisdom is supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind and will of God for a specific person or situation in the future.
For the future.
So the word of wisdom always is pointing to something that's going to happen in the future. A word of knowledge, as we're going to see next week, has to do with something in the past or present. Knowledge about something that happened in the past or present that will help to enlighten you or bear witness with you today.
Right. But a lot of times those both work together. Yeah. But today, we're going to take a look at the word of wisdom. And if you turn to Acts chapter 27, this is the story. We're going to discover how this word of wisdom actually worked through the Apostle Paul and then another prophet named Agabus. And the story here is Paul has been arrested, and he's appealed to Rome, and he's getting on a ship to go to Rome in front of Caesar to bear witness to Christ. And Paul is, I guess it's late in the autumn where it's going to be dangerous to put a ship on the Mediterranean Sea. And so Paul in verse 10, now remember, he's a prisoner. Paul is a prisoner. He is not a sailor. Acts 27:10, Paul stands up and tells everybody that I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only to the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. What happens, he tells everybody, he just got a word of wisdom saying, this going to be dangerous for you to go on this trip. So he lets everybody know. But, again, if you're going to have a sailor tell you, we found what we want, we have a soft breeze blowing here, we can get out and we can make it. And so they didn't listen to Paul at all. And so they take off, and then what happens? A northeaster comes in, and 14 days they are in trouble. The ship is being blown everywhere the wind will take it. They haven't eaten for 14 days, and the Bible says there that when all hope was gone about losing their lives, then what happens here in Acts 27, verse 21, and Paul speaks up, and he says, since they've been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, here we go. You have scripture to say this. You should have heard what I was telling you.
You should have listened to me.
You should have listened to me. Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incur this injury and loss. Yet, hallelujah, remember that scripture, but God? Yet now I urge you to take heart. There'll be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. And for this very night, there stood an angel before me, an angel of God whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted to you all that sail with you. See, this again is a supernatural word of wisdom, which is in the mind of God being relayed to Paul so that they can, and if you take a look at this, this word of wisdom actually brought faith to all the people that were on board.
Yeah. And it pointed to the future.
Yes. It's important. And then let's go to Acts 21. You're right there in Acts 27. Go to Acts 21. There's a lot more than what I'm sharing as examples. And this was before Acts 27, like six chapters.
Thanks for that.
Just so you know, little math lesson there too.
Okay, carry on. It's 11:36, so we need to...
Well, we're not going to make it. Well, here comes a prophet. And this prophet, and if don't turn there, but Acts 11, he prophesies that there's going to be a drought and a famine. And that did happen. And so here he comes. And Paul is, this was right before Paul gets on the ship and takes off before he's going to Jerusalem. But he says this, he comes into where everybody was meeting, and verse 10 says, while we were staying many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet in his hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. So everybody heard this. And so everybody was trying to tell him not to go to Jerusalem, not to go to Jerusalem. But Paul had a word many years before from a man named Ananias. And so this is what he says in verse 13. Paul answered, What are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, the will of the Lord be done. Paul went. This came to pass exactly as the prophet said.
He was arrested, yeah.
He was arrested. He was gone through many trials. Then he eventually appealed to Caesar, and that's where he went on the ship. Yeah. And so sometimes we see a category of gifts. This gentleman, Agabus, he was a fivefold minister. He was a prophet. So a word of wisdom would come in a stronger anointing from a fivefold ministry gift than just from a regular body of Christ believer. Just like it's just because he started off here, said the Holy Spirit said.
Thus saith the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Which is pretty authoritative. If you're going to say, this is the word of the Lord,
you better know that it is.
Yeah. But we see other words of wisdom, like to Ananias. That was earlier in the book of Acts at the beginning of Paul's journey, whenever he was blinded on the road to Damascus, and then God spoke to Ananias and said to go lay hands on Paul so he could receive his sight. And, Ananias was resisting. It's like, I don't want to go to this guy, and he's killing
Christians.
Yeah. But the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to carry my name. And I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for my name's sake. So that was a word of wisdom. It was like, go and do this, because Paul has a future that I've ordained for him. So that was a word of wisdom there.
Yeah.
But God can choose to give a word of wisdom in however capacity, like Pastor C was saying, it can sound very authoritative, thus saith the Lord. But I think some of you might think back in your own life. I know as we were preparing the message, I thought, well, I know God's given us a word of wisdom. I know he's given Pastor Ben words of wisdom about the future. It could be about yourself. It could be about, sometimes it's about people for us as pastors and the people in the church. It's like, and we're not going to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, but you can make it known to people, this is what I feel like God is saying. And sometimes people can hear, and sometimes they won't hear. Sometimes if you don't say, make it sound authoritative, God has a word for you. I never say it that way. No. I just will, let somebody know that this seems very, God's really impressed on my heart this. But a person can still pass it off.
Sometimes it's just a word of wisdom is for you to pray for that person.
Yeah. But it's regarding the person's future. So God wants them to stay on. Usually it's the narrow path. Do this. I feel like this. God is saying this. I just remember, too, like other things that were a little bit more personal. But in the end, they do affect the body of Christ, because they do affect the will for your life.
Yeah.
The one time, and I didn't even understand this was a word of wisdom until you begin to read Scripture. It's like, Lord, that was a word of wisdom. This was way back, 1992. In the spring, God was stirring a lot of things in our heart about our future.
Yeah.
I had quit nursing, and we were feeling like, what is God doing in our life? Sensing maybe a possible call into ministry. We didn't know, but it was early in the spring, very early, and you had to enroll your child in kindergarten, and our daughter was needing to be enrolled in kindergarten. She was 5 years old, or six, she was 5 years old at the time. And I just remember sitting there at the dining room table, minding my own business, basically, and it was like this thought, clarity, just came into my mind. She's not going to go to that school in the fall. And I thought, you wonder, why? I thought, this is something from God. It was like, I didn't understand why. But I just sort of tucked it away in my heart. And then it seemed like in the next couple of months, a lot was unfolding about God's will for our life to go into ministry. And which would involve a cross-country trip, basically, halfway across the country for a couple of years. Huge step of faith, cutting all your ties to where you are now, your job security. You're learning to trust God for a new job, for him for provision. Pack up your home, get a U-Haul, deal with your home. Are we going to rent? Are we going to sell our home? What are we going to do? We were selling our car to get extra money.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your parents and family. Our children, I think, Ben, you were about in fifth grade at that time.
And my parents thought I was crazy-er.
You know, to pack, you know. But to pack up and say goodbye and cut ties, like, to all your security.
Yeah.
And trust God basically for everything, like a brand new start here. We needed to know we were making the right decision.
Yeah.
You don't want to do things like that and get there and go, that was wrong. We didn't hear the voice of the Lord. So we wanted to know before we launched out. Mm-hmm. And I remember then as we were making this decision and talking to our pastor at the time, and it was like the Holy Spirit brought that to my mind. Yeah. Remember I told you that Hannah was not going to go to enroll in school in the fall. And it really helped. It was a subtle thing, but it was a big piece of the puzzle to go, I think he's saying, and he's putting it together for us to know, take the step and do it.
And it built our faith.
And it built our faith. It absolutely built our faith. And so a word of wisdom can operate, we say it, you know, very subtly like that. Sometimes yeah. You could pass it up. But then I do believe that when you're searching for answers and you're looking, God will show you. But it doesn't have to come as someone saying to you, thus saith the Lord.
Right.
You are to go to do this. But it's very real. These gifts are very real. Like in the Old Testament, if you think about the Old Testament, Noah certainly had a word of wisdom when God said, build me an ark. You know,
you better get
because
going.
Rain's coming. And like, well, then rain had never rained. It's like, so, and Joseph had a word of wisdom through the dream that God gave him.
Yeah.
But your brothers are all going to bow down to you one day. That was a word of wisdom. Deborah, I mean, there's so many in the Old Testament who was a judge in Israel, given a word of wisdom about Israel's victory over the Canaanites that she shared with Barak.
Right.
So the gifts are real. And God wants his church
To operate
in them, to be receptive. But it starts with
knowing about
them. Knowing, and it starts with believing, and it starts with asking. Uh-huh. Because Scripture says, desire the gifts of the Spirit.
The Amplified says, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit.
Earnestly desire, Earnestly. So we're going to pray as we close out the service. We have to desire the gifts in our life. And it starts with being open.
Yes.
Believing these gifts are real. And they're meant to help the church to grow strong.
Mm-hmm. And
you don't choose the gift.
Right.
You don't choose how God will use you. Really, the best gift is the one that's needed in the moment. And so that all the gifts
Amen.
Are good.
Yes.
But God needs us to open up our heart.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the power that you've given your church, these supernatural gifts. God, forgive us for just being ignorant, but we're ignorant no more.
Right.
Because we read in your word, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us revelation. And you say to each one is given. Lord, you want to use each one of us. We're all put together. No, there's no part of the body of Christ that is more or less significant.
Come on.
There are diversities of gifts. There are different ways that you administer your gifts. There are various ways they will operate in different settings for different purposes. But it's you, Holy Spirit. You're operating through all of them in each one of us. And so, Lord, we ask you. We sit now just in your presence for a moment. We open up our heart. We say, God, we earnestly do desire that you use us. Manifest your gifts through us, Lord. We need them. We really desperately need them. Stir up faith, Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to take time. You know, it takes time like this to sit in the presence of God. We live such busy, 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 noisy lives. We just set apart time with you, Lord, to seek you about this. Maybe somebody in here, you're thinking, I think some of these things have operated in my life. I didn't even realize it. Sometimes these things can be seen even in childhood.
Yeah.
You just seem to have a spiritual sense in a certain direction in your life. But as we said before, the world can sometimes just cover that over. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to uncover.
Yes.
Uncover. Reveal yourself to us.
If you've discovered that some of this has happened in your life, this is the time to ask him, Lord, teach me more about this gift.
Yes.
Teach me more about this gift. I earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, yes. Lord, because it's to edify the body.
Yes.
It's to build faith.
And when we come together, Lord, like this, let your gifts move among us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that your gifts would move among us in the church, as you will.
Yes, as you will, Lord.
We won't resist. We won't be afraid. We thank you for helping us to have courage, boldness to just step out.
First place to have these gifts to operate is that you have to have the Holy Spirit deal with your heart. You know, Pastor Mamie was talking about that God had you in mind before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. The Bible declares his thoughts toward you are good thoughts, and they're more than the sand of the sea. This is how much God loves you. And his desire is to adopt you into his family, and that only happens through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth, the Son of God, born of a virgin. He died on a cross, taking your place and my place for the penalty of our sin. Something we could never do. Then on the third day, he rose again from the dead, fulfilling the justice of God himself, so that anybody who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. If that's you today, and you want to have your sins forgiven, and you want to be adopted into the family of God, and you want to live a life of purpose, for kingdom purpose, live a life that really counts for all eternity, I'm asking you to raise your hand high enough so that I can see it, and then we'll put it down, and we'll pray a prayer, and something supernatural happens. This Holy Spirit that we're talking about will come and recreate that dead spirit within you. That's why the Bible says you'll become a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's miraculous. It's all work on the inside. Anyone at all? Heavenly Father, I just worship you.
Yes.
Our hearts are open to allow you to be God. Our hearts are open, Lord, to have ourselves yield to you so the gifts of the Spirit will manifest in this church.
Yes.
For the church,
yes.
In the church, Lord, just like what happened to Pastor Mamie, maybe in a quiet time with you to help build us up to advance your kingdom. We're open.
Yes, Lord.
And allowing you to do what you can only do.
Yes. Thank you, Holy
Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Yes.